Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Today we're talking about fear. And we're doing this thing on the idol of fear. Boy, if there's any idol or anything in our lives that needs addressing, it's this thing called fear. Anybody ever been afraid? Anybody afraid now? I was afraid to preach this message. Love this scripture, Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you hope in the Lord. If we're going to talk about anything, it's not just the problem of fear, it's actually the answer of courage. And if anything our hearts need is courage. But let's, before we go into the answer and solution, let's get into some of the areas of the problem. Fear is one of the greatest enemies of the human soul. Fear robs you of strength and the ability to move forward in life. It is the paralysis of a person's soul. It can lead to anxiety, mistrust, and the sense of isolation. When consumed by fear, we cannot engage with life and others fully, and we miss out on the richness of human connection and possibility. It distorts the future. It distorts the view of the future into a sequence of negative images that can create pictures so believable that it becomes your new reality. How's this quote by a philosopher, believe it or not, in the 1600s? He said this, fear can, though it is not God, create something from nothing. That is the power of fear. Fear is one of the most debilitating things, and we need to address this. Thank God the scripture has answers for it. Now, I've got 4 points for you. I'm going to give them all to you at the top, and then we're going to go back and unpack that. So who's ready to hear all four? All right, number one, there is good fear and bad fear. That's what we're going to talk about in a second. Secondly, God himself is the source of courage and not the author of fear. I'm really happy about that. Number three, God has a land that he wants us to inherit, but it takes courage to inherit that land. And number four, we're going to talk about how to access courage. We're going to get into the practical things. Who would like some practical advice on courage? Anybody? We're going to not just talk about the theory of it. We're going to get into some practical stuff about it. Okay, number one, there is good fear and bad fear. There is good fear. God has given us a gift of good fear. Thank God for that. Good fear is this. It is specific and constructive. This is the healthy fear to protect and preserve us. It is our fight or flight mechanism on the inside of us. If without this fear, we would end up in a lot of trouble and we would probably end up all not being here. One of the best examples for me years ago, when I was a young teenager, I went and watched, you know, wrongly went and watched a old Dracula movie. Now, the new Dracula movies in the last 10, 15 years, are essentially just romantic comedies. Compared to the Dracula movies back in the 70s, they were real Dracula movies. I'm talking about frightening, absolutely paralyzing fear. So I watched this movie, shouldn't have done it, but I was paralyzed afterwards. I was so frightened, I went home. I could hardly even speak. I was so scared. Anybody ever had that level of fear? And I laid down on the bed and I'm like, I can't even, you know when you're like, you can't even whistle. You're like, I was so afraid. Afraid to get up, what have you. But I had to get up and go to the bathroom. So I got up in the bathroom. Now, my brother had seen the movie with me. And he decided it would be a good idea. He snuck into the bathroom and put his hand on the light switch. So I went in there and I'm already paralyzed with fear, right? And I'm like, so, and I just reached out to turn on the light switch. And all I feel was his hairy hand. Oh my gosh. So at this point, I had two options, fight or flight. I went the fight. So I literally, he stood up, I stood up, I went, I just screamed like a girl, like, ah! And I went, whack! Literally knocked him over, hit his head on the back of the sink, but I felt immediately better. There is good fear. There is good fear. But there's bad fear. Most of our fears are not good fears. Most of fear is bad fear, which is this, non-specific, undefined. It is unhealthy fear. It's debilitating. This is the kind of fear on a deeper level that leads to anxiety, inaction, that undermines our life by eroding our confidence and courage. Half the time, you don't even know what you're afraid of. But it's this gnawing, quiet, eroding fear. I don't know whether you've ever felt that. You wake up in the morning and like you're afraid of something, but you don't even know what you're afraid of. Or something's coming at you, but feared, and the fear, this sort of fear, you can't do anything about it. It's not immediate. It's no action you can do, but it gnaws away at our lives. God wants us set free from that sort of fear. Come on, who's with me today? He wants us to not live in the extremes of at one end of the, if we have a spectrum of healthy behavior, one end of the spectrum is debilitating fear. At the other end of the spectrum is reckless behavior, where you basically ignore all the rules and safety. But in the middle is this wonderful thing called courage. God wants us to find that healthy middle of courage and discover in that place of courage God's wonderful plan for our lives. I love this Nelson Mandela quote. He says, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not the one who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers the fear." My gosh, that is so true. Point number two, God himself is the source of this courage and not the source or author of fear. God did not invent fear. So if that's the case, where did fear come from? What was the entry point of fear? Why are we as humans afraid? What was the entry point? Well, let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. "But the Lord God called to man," this is after Adam and Eve fell, "Where are you?" he answered. This is Adam's response. "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And the natural, the sin response to nakedness is fear, and the response of fear is hiding. We've been hiding from God ever since, thinking because there's nothing covering us, we're naked. Our sin creates a nakedness, but God, he has now clothed us with grace. He has now clothed us with the love of God. We are no longer naked in Christ, and therefore fear is eradicated. Fear has been dealt with in the gospel. Anybody happy about that? I love that. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us." We need to know what God has given us, but we also need to know what God has not given us. He has not given us a spirit of fear. I love that. Everybody say after me, God has not. Say it again, not. He has not given us, say this, a spirit of fear. Because fear is a spirit. Negative fear is a spirit. Negative fear is something that is, like I said before, ill-defined, hard to nail. It begins to control you and take over you. But, it says here, but he has given us a spirit, watch this, three things, power, of love, and of a sound mind. Those three things counteract fear. God has given us three positive spirits to counteract one negative one. He's given us a spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of love. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. He wants to give us sound thinking, right thinking, which we'll get to in a second. God has given us. The gospel restores our confidence before God. The gospel restores. He deals with the fear so that we can come confidently and boldly before God. We don't have to hide anymore. We do not have to hide. Anybody glad about that? I love this. Psalm 27, verse 1-3. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Once the light and salvation of God come into our life, then fear is eradicated. Fear is dealt with. That is the core of fear. And my favorite, 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love." There is no fear in love. But perfect love, watch this, drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. In the gospel, there's no punishment. Jesus has taken the punishment and now gives us the love of God. And the perfect love, I love this, very aggressive, drives out all fear. Once you experience the love of God, fear is driven out, which is good news. The gospel is knowing that I am loved and accepted by God. This love that casts out all fear is the platform for a courageous life. That's the basis. Before we deal with the psychology of fear, we need to deal with the spirit of fear. The cause of it, the base of it, the root of it, we have now confidence before God and God is with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh my gosh. Just if you want to just get filled with life and courage, just read the end of Romans 8, just every day. Yeah, neither sword, nor peril, nor famine, nothing, neither angels, nor demons, nor heaven, nor hell. I mean, it just lists all these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And once you have that love, it drives out all fear. Oh my God, say it after me, nothing.
Nothing.
Say it with attitude, nothing.
Nothing.
I love that. It's like Winston Churchill, never. Nothing. We need to declare this stuff sometimes. We need to know and live and declare the gospel every single day because it deals with the root of the problem. Deals with the root. Nothing. Say it again, nothing.
Nothing.
I love that attitude. And as you're saying, you walk like this. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. All right, number three. God has a land that he wants us to inherit. But it takes courage to enter that land. God has a land. Now, one of the greatest stories in the Bible of this fear versus courage thing is the story of Joshua leading the Israelites into that promised land. And he was very afraid. Joshua 1, verse 1 says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. I always loved that one, son of Nun. There's all sorts of meanings in that. I'll just move right along. Moses, my servant, is dead. What a great way to start the beginning of an encouraging thing. Moses is dead. Was that a Scottish accent? I don't know. Jock? Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the... We were just in Africa. And we were just training all these leaders there. We're just staying at this little hotel, this little bed and breakfast. And then we met the manager of this hotel. I'm talking a Celtic story here. And the manager was Irish. And so we had a great chat. And Bernie said, I've done years and years of Irish dancing. He said, that's funny. We just started a school and we're teaching all the kids to do Irish dancing. This is in the middle of Africa. So we went and visited this school and Bernie taught them some more steps with Irish dancing. I have no idea why I just told that story, but I just... And we see these beautiful African kids, bare feet on dirt, doing Irish dancing in Africa. Bizarre, but wonderful. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory. Everybody say, my territory. Will extend from the desert to Lebanon, gives all these directions. And then verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. I mean, I think Joshua's getting the message here. Joshua was in many ways, I mean, it says there, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's interesting. Then he says, now then you. Sometimes the previous plan that God had for us is no longer working. Moses was the plan. Moses was the leader. Now God's saying, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. Sometimes life throws you your turn. And I don't know about you, but I remember that. Even every little tiny little things in the things of God. Now it's your turn. Come on, rise up in this place. I remember the first time I prayed publicly. And it was a tiny little meeting, maybe 10 people. This was like 43 years ago. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's your turn, come on, pray. And I was petrified. I could feel, and I knew it was right for me to step out like that and just step into that place. And you think it's big leaps. It's not. It's a whole bunch of little leaps as we go into the places that God has for us. As it came time for me to pray, my palms were sweating. I was what have you. And then I launched, you know, this prayer. I was like, ah! And I'm sure it was off in some shape or form, but I did it. Sometimes God wants you to launch. It's your turn. For some of you today, that's your message. It's your turn. The call of God is coming upon you. God wants you to launch out there. And then it said, cross over. Sometimes the greatest times of fear is when there is significant change or significant challenge in front of us. But here he's saying to Joshua, come on, cross over. And we know that there's something on the other side. We know it's good, but fear often prevents us from going in there. That, at that point in time, the Jordan River was in flood. It was at its widest, deepest, and most torrent state. Why now, Lord? Why now? He says, but no, come on, now's the time to cross over. Let me ask you this, what's on the other side? What is on the other side of a decision that you could make that is actually holding you back from really moving into the places that God has for you? And then said, every place you set your foot, I love this. He said, Joshua, wherever you place your feet, that's I'll give you. Sometimes we think that the plan or the things of God are limited and small, but God's place for us is open and broad. I love the scripture, Psalm 1:3, whatever you do will prosper. John 15:7, ask for whatever you wish and I'll give it to you if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Sometimes we believe that we have to choose the right thing at the right time, in the right place, in the right way, for the right reason. Even God's confused. The future for you is maybe a little broader and wider than you think. And then it says your territory. God has a territory for us. There's a place in which he wants us to take new land. I'll be with you and I will never leave you. God wants us but to take this land, to take this place of a new thing that God has for us, we need to face our fears and figure out how to get into that place. So let's go into how to access courage. Some practical things there. Courage is God's antidote. It is God's way. I love this quote by Anita Roddick. She says, be courageous. It's one of the only places left uncrowded. Another thing she says, if you think you're too small to have an impact, try going to bed with a mosquito. Often we think we're too small. Who's ever felt inadequate? I live half my life feeling inadequate. But God's with you irrespective of that. It is not your skill or talent or size. I love the scripture in Habakkuk 3:19, an amplified version. Check this out. This is God's view of you. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds feet. He makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence and my high places of challenge and responsibility. God is exhorting us, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. It's the exhortation of God to us today. Okay, we have fears, but you can imagine the voice of God, the voice of the Father saying, come on, you can be strong. He wasn't rebuking Joshua. He wasn't harsh with Joshua, but I can imagine the appeal of God's voice, be strong and courageous. So what does he tell Joshua to do? He tells Joshua to do three things. And this is the practical part of it. Number one, to speak the word of God. Number two, to meditate on the word of God. And number three, to obey the word of God. He has given us the tools we need to see the fear, but to then take the land that God has for us. What's on the other side of this Jordan? Number one, speak the word of God. Do you realize that the moment you speak God's word, the atmosphere around you changes? The moment you do that, here's the thing, there's so much in life wanting us to not declare the word of God. And that can be anything. It can be a declaration of his goodness over you. It can be a favorite scripture. It can be something, maybe there's a heavy atmosphere in your home. I remember years ago, we were in Hong Kong and we were training leaders and we were launching new churches. This was many, many years ago, maybe 25 years ago. And we're in Hong Kong and there were hardly any churches in the region and it was brand new. There's a small group of us as leaders and I was in my hotel room preparing for that night meeting and this literally a spirit of fear entered the room. And I was petrified. It's like there's something over the city, something over in that atmosphere. And I was absolutely, I could not even speak, get the word out. But after a while, as I kept praying, and I eventually began to quietly begin to declare the scripture over that atmosphere, the atmosphere began to break up, and then strength and fear began to leave and confidence began to come again. But it's sometimes you just need to speak the word of God. What in your home is causing fear or anxiety? Get the scripture that's the opposite and begin to declare it into the atmosphere of your home. Who believes that this morning? Trust me, if there's anger, speak the love of God. If there's anxiety, speak faith and hope and peace into the atmosphere of your home. Number two, meditate in the word of God. Oh my gosh. The scriptures are there to shape our thinking. I love the scripture, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, watch this, by the renewing of our mind. Well, what renews our mind? Well, really the best thing that's gonna shift our thinking from one of fear to courage is the word of God. And it shapes us in so many ways. Meditate on the scriptures. In fact, the Lord said to Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. There's this thing called neuroplasticity. That's really hard to say this time of morning. It is a commonly held belief that once we reach adulthood, our brains are hardwired and incapable of dramatic change. However, research in recent years has led neuroscientists to believe that our brains are in fact much more malleable, flexible, and able to shift physically and psychologically than we first thought. Our brains actually can create new neuropathways. And old ruts, old habits, old things, and fear becomes a habit. It becomes the autonomic response of the human brain to easily go into that space. Well, we can unravel that old pattern and that old rut and actually create a new neuro pathway. And as we meditate on the scriptures, and then it takes time and effort. And over days and months and years, we can actually create new neuro pathways. Who wants to experience a little neuroplasticity? Anybody? To shape this brain of ours. My default, all of our default is to fear. So we've got to form a new pattern as we allow the word of God to shape a new one. Years ago, about 5-6 years ago, I was diagnosed with a form of cancer. And my immediate, and I remember sitting, my Bernie and I sitting with the surgeon, and he gave me a very bad report. I hate bad reports. And he gave me the results of the scan, the blood tests, and he said, Mark, this is not good. This is about as bad as it can get. I mean, I felt instantly fear and panic hit me. Because all of our human frames are affected by these things. And went home the next 48 hours, I wasn't in good shape at all. And of course, you can't say to someone, don't be afraid. Have you ever been in a hospital emergency thing and you can see a massive needle coming for you and the medical person says, don't be anxious. Well, that's the first thing I'm gonna be as I see some instrument of pain coming towards my life. No, there's other things that have to shift those things out of that moment. So I just began every day, I just got Psalm 103 and I began to meditate on it. So was I afraid? You bet I was afraid. So I'm just gonna sit down here because I'm just going into my living room. So every morning I just get up and have my coffee and I just begin to pull out scriptures. And every morning I was afraid because day one, the day after I'd seen the surgeon, day one, I just decided to read Psalm 103 and it reads like this. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'm like, okay. I don't feel like praising God right now. To be honest with you, don't feel like it at all. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. You know what the first revelation I got? Is the cancer is in my inmost being. That cancer has to actually praise the Lord. So I started talking to the cancer. Cancer, get your hands up. That's weird. That's weird, isn't it? That's weird. But where did this come from? Every day, for 2 years, that's the only scripture I read. Then I kept reading. Praise the Lord, because it keeps going. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalmist lists the benefits, which is awesome. Who forgives all your sins, Lord, forgive me. Who heals all your diseases, all. Everybody say all. That includes mine. Redeems your life from the pit. Crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. And check this out. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That last bit hasn't happened yet. I'm believing for that bit. Who's believing with me? Anyone? Now, the thing is, did that instantly deliver me from the fear? No. I'd read it and the effect of it would last about 30 minutes, 60 minutes. The next day, I'd go back to it again because the pathway had to be reformed. I had to spend, so I would have spent hundreds of hours in that scripture. As it went deeper, deeper, deeper in that space. And see, the scripture, it has to get into the place of fear. It can't just skim across the surface as some memorizing scripture. I got to memorize, you know, Lord is my shepherd, I start one. No, that's in this level. We've got to get it. We've got to get the pattern, the neural pathway so in us that your autonomic response to fear, and I didn't even know when I stopped being afraid. I don't know when, but it did. Because I had many medical surgeries through this time. I had scans, I had surgeries, I had over 5 surgeries, I had all sorts of things, and every one of them typically would create an enormous amount of fear in me. But over time, a peace began to come, and a calm, and a trust in God. But it was, and then I dig back down into that scripture again, say, God, you heal all my diseases, you heal my diseases. And then 3 years later, I'm sitting with the same doctor, and he has a look at my scans, and he said, Mark, there's no evidence of cancer. That's awesome. I just got to get up now. There's no evidence of cancer. And he said to me, and this guy is not a Christian, he said, Mark, there's somebody up there looking after you. And that is not something, oh, I prayed once, I got healed. No, we're talking about something different. We're not just talking about the healing. We're talking about the thing that the news brings, which is fear and anxiety, and then moving into a place of courage. But you do courage afraid. You do courage afraid. I love this. And then the last one. So we speak the word. We meditate on it. If I encourage you, get scriptures, meditate on them, and let the word of God reform the pathways in your brain towards faith, towards love, towards courage. Whatever you're facing, some of you have got news this week on things that you need. This is the tool for you right now. Or some of you have opportunities and the opportunity is freaking you out. So the last one is obey the word of God. Sometimes in the obedience is essentially one thing. Obedience is speak it, meditate on it, but the third thing is just as important. The third thing is step. The third thing is do something. The third thing is make a move towards whatever it is that the opportunity is or the fear is telling you can't take. Because over the other side of that river is an opportunity that God has for you. And maybe the opportunity is to be healed, or maybe it's to expand the business or whatever it is. There's something telling you don't go over there, but make the step, do the step. Years ago for us, this was now, we're going back 40 years now. And we'd lived most of our, or the first 8 years of our marriage, we'd lived in just renting houses and we'd have to move. We moved 9 times in 8 years. And to be honest with you, I was like, this is hopeless. And then eventually when the place we're renting at that point, we got a call from them saying, we're selling the house and you have to move again. We're like, I'm sick of this. And I did, I got afraid of what our future would look like and where we could live, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a big issue in Sydney right now. Now, we're talking 40 years ago now. So I said to Bernie, go and get the newspaper. Today we're going to buy a house. We're going to buy a house today. And she said, I love it when you talk tough. I'm sure that's what she said. All I'm saying is that sometimes the third step is a step. Just move. So we looked at the paper, found the house, and it said, beach cottage for sale, Narrabeen, 50 metres from the beach. I'm like, that's the will of God right there. So I went down, saw the house, saw the real estate agent. Thing is, we had no money. Nothing. Nothing at all. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. All I'm saying is, this is pretty stupid, actually. But all I'm saying is, sometimes there's a miracle step of obedience towards something. That's all it is. So, and we fell in love with this house. It's an old cottage, 50 metres from the beach. Need a bit of work. And I said, we'll take it. And he said, what do I do now? He says, he looked at me like, you're crazy. He said, you need $1,000 holding deposit just to give me, let me know you're serious. I said, okay. So I called Mum. I said, will you lend me $1,000? She said, what for? I said, I want to buy a house. She said, yeah, sure. Gave me $1,000. I said, now what do I do? And he said, go to the bank, borrow the money. I said, okay, great. So I went to all these banks while I was a young pastor, bank after bank after bank, just rejected, rejected, rejected. But sometimes these steps, you just got to keep moving, you know, because fear says, don't, stop, you're crazy, you're being irresponsible. No, but sometimes you just have to keep moving. So eventually, I think maybe the seventh or eighth bank said, yeah, we'll lend you the money. But they said, you need $27,000 in the account by Thursday. We'll lend you the bot, but we need that. I said, no problem. I was going, I'll transfer it from one of my other accounts. True story. That's what I said. As those words were coming out of my mouth, I'm going, what am I saying? True story. Called Bernie. Said, want the good news or the bad news? Anyway, within 5 days, miracles just started to happen. 10,000 here, and then someone came to us and said, I hear you're buying a house. I'm like, I didn't even tell anyone. And they gave us $7,000. Anyway, by that Thursday, we had $27,000. And we bought that house, our very first house. See, thing is, it's that step. It's like moving towards, get across. The moment the Israelites put their foot on, the priest put their foot on the water, that moment, the water's parted. They could have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, but the waters would not have backed up. The moment they just had to put their foot in the water, just put your feet in the water. I have so many of these stories of this type of thing, crazy stuff. Anyway, we bought the house, it's amazing. And on the way to the house, the Lord's to pick up the key to the real estate agent to have the house, the Lord spoke to me and said, the faith and the courage that you use to get that house is not about the house, it's about something else. I had no idea what he's talking about. Anyway, 3 years later, God calls us to New York to go and plant a church. So then I realized, see, here's the deal. One step of obedience and courage leads to another step. But the door of the next step is beyond the door of the first step. It's on the other side. As you keep taking steps, God keeps growing you in that space. Anyway, we moved to New York. We ended up selling that house for double what we paid for it. Some friends bought it. They sold it for double what they bought it for. And so out of that one step of obedience that day, and they went and planted a church in another part of Australia. Out of that one step of obedience, two churches were planted. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were made, and the move of God broke out in those cities. The thing is that sense of obedience to what God has and courage, just take that step. We declare the word, we meditate on the word, but eventually we step out on what God wants for us. And God is good. God is good. All right. Can we stand to our feet as we finish? Let's stand to our feet. God is good. Why don't we just lift our hands, the presence of God. What is it? What are you afraid of? Is it something, maybe news that you got? Maybe a fear that you have deep in on the inside? I know my fears. I know what causes anxiety to me. And I can see that anxiety coming towards me. And God has given me things as tools to overcome those things. God wants to give you tools today. He wants to give you a word. Maybe He wants to set you free in terms of maybe some prayer to really break that thing off your life. But God wants to inject us with fresh courage this morning. Or maybe there's an opportunity in front of you. Maybe you know in your heart of hearts that there's a step into a new and bigger place. Maybe it's a course, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a business, maybe it's a whatever it is. Maybe it is to go and buy a house. But God wants to help you, give you courage and wisdom to step into a place that you currently aren't occupying. God wants you to cross over into a brand new place and live a life of courage in the presence of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Every heart lifted up, every spirit alive, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that spirit of fear is bound. God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Father, I thank you for great courage filling every heart, every life. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor. Just with every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe if you're here today and you've never experienced what I talked about earlier, which is that forgiveness from God, where we are reconnected to a loving Father, a loving God, where in Christ we know that all of our sins are forgiven. No longer do we have to hide. No longer do we need to be afraid. No longer do we have to be afraid of God, but we our faith and our confidence is restored, and we can face God face to face with open hearts, open minds, open spirit. If you're here and you don't know Jesus and you don't know His forgiveness and you've never experienced His grace and you want to receive the love of God in the gospel today, if you're here and you don't know Him and want to receive Christ and have all your sins washed clean and your life restored in God, if that's you, just with every eye closed right now, just lift your hand up right now and say, Mark, that's me. I want to know God. I want to be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's you. Just slip your hand up right now. Thank you. That's awesome, my friend. Thank you. That's awesome, my friend. Who else is there? Who else is there? A couple of people have raised their hand already. Anyone else? Thanks. That's awesome. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Say, that's me. I want to know God. I want to know His peace. I want to know that I have restored confidence before God. Anyone else right now? In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, I'm just going to lead us all in a prayer. Those people who raise their hand, I want you to pray a prayer after me, but we're going to pray it together. Say this after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, for dying on a cross to forgive my sins. I thank you, Lord. I now receive your forgiveness, your grace, your love. Give me the power to live for you in faith, in courage, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give these people a big hand and congratulate them? I just want to open the altar. We're going to close the meeting, but I just want to open the altar. If you want prayer, if there's anything in your life right now that is real, you feel like a fear and anxiety that is holding you back from all that God has for you, why don't you come and just soak up the front and just hang in God's presence. Some of the team will come and pray for you. So if you would like prayer in this space and get a breakthrough in this place, then why don't you just come? Just make your way to the front right now as the worship team leads us in a time of worship. Kaylee's going to close the meeting. But if you want to come and get prayer, please, come on, just make your way to the front. Touch your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.